Hey everybody, Mountain Michaels here along with the owner and creator of FSW, Mr. Joe DeFalco, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas on the DeFalco Files. And today we are joined by the legendary, I guess OG of the FSW.
That's right, I call him the OG of Vegas.
I saw that yesterday. I did not know that was my name.
Kenny OG King. I love it.
K-I-N-O-G, I guess, maybe.
Man, it's glad to, you know, I'm glad to have you on, Kenny. Of course, you're, you know, one of my favorite people in this business going back years and years and years now. And one of the biggest
in the 60s, he loved you.
he's like Bobo Brazil, Kenny King. Love these guys back then.
Yep. I trained Ernie Ladd. I don't know if you know it. I trained the big cat.
But you know, the reason you're on today is because one of the guys that you had a big hand in becoming the guy he is today is Chris Bay. And we have the benefit for Bay coming up here on the 23rd. And man, Kenny, first, just, you know, as we start talking about that show, what were your first, I've never asked you this, first impressions the first time you met Chris Bay, man?
Chris was, you know, he was just wide-eyed, right? Like he'd come into the building and he was just looking around and, you know, he was cool, right? But you could just tell, like, man, he really wants to be here. Like, this guy's really, you know, he's obviously a big fan, but, like, you know, that doesn't necessarily translate into being a good wrestler. A lot of times that does not translate into being a good wrestler. But I remember teaching drop kicks, right? This specifically I remember, and you know, I can't remember who it was that we were just kind of holding the pad up as a target. So, while they're learning, they don't kick the guy's head off. And the kid, whoever it was a decent size, maybe 5'9", 5'10", you know, taller, about a little taller than Chris. And the first couple times, Chris is jumping over the kid's head, like jumping, kicking over the pad. I'm like, whoa, you know, and that specifically, I was like, wow, this kid's got explosion. Dedication, and you know, he was there all the time. Like, when he was training, he was there all the time. He was always trying to get better, always up underneath the right guys and listening to the right guys. I mean, Chris, from the very beginning, as far as I could see, had everything it took to live, eat, breathe wrestling and become the star that he is today.
Man, and it's funny too, Pat. Remember when we were training, Kenny, back in the day, and we didn't have what were called pads back then? It was just, right?
Pads. Just put your hand, and if you get kicked too hard, then you have to hold, you have to get it, be stronger. Pads. So, I mean, you know, Joe DeFalco, Vegas Vince himself, man, he's providing the safest environment for the best training. Listen, I didn't have crash pads breaking in. So, shout out to Joe.
Seriously, man. I, how many times do you have that bell rung when someone just kind of clipped you and you're like, oh, Jesus, dude. Easy, man. Yeah.
Bob Holly, Joe, kicked me right in the eye my very first time taking a drop kick. I had my hand, you know, they tell you, put your hands like this. And somehow his toe hit me right in the eye. I'm like, so that and there wasn't a pad, and I was tough enough, it wasn't any pads, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
and Bob Holly to this day will tell you it was a total accident. He didn't want to clip Kenny.
I'm sure he didn't. Listen, Bob, for everything, you know, all the flack that people gave about Bob, from being there firsthand, I can say that yes, he's rough tumble, but being in the business as long as I've been in the business, I understand why, you know, why he was there, right? He was there to see who really wanted to be there. Or like somebody had to be the old school guy that was trying to, you know, toughen everybody up and kind of and gatekeep a bit, because it's not for everybody, right? A little different nowadays.
Yeah. All right. So, Joe, since, you know, we're coming up on this show quickly, you just made some announcements, and one of the biggest announcements, I think, is this match right here. Swerve Strickland, former AEW champion, going against our own Kenny King. Wow.
Well, I had to get it. I had to get it out as quick as possible because, you know, despite Kenny never texting me back on anything, when it came to the Strickland thing, it's like, oh, now I'm ghosting him because I ain't giving him the info. I'm like, dude, we haven't even got to it yet. So, and then Kenny thought I was ribbing him again because Strickland hit me up. He goes, you know, who you thinking about having me work? And I said, to be honest, we haven't gone through everything yet, but I know Kenny King wants to wrestle you. And, you know, I was trying to think of a good response to tell Kenny that'd be like, oh, okay, I guess that's, but, you know, but Strickland was like, oh, Kenny would be great. So I'm like, ah, I passed that info on to Kenny. And, you know, just to keep him on edge, I said, well, you know, we still might make it a 3-4 or 5 way, you know, so, but, you know, we got a couple singles matches. So, you know what? Everybody who is doing this out of the goodness of their heart. Nobody is being paid to perform. So my thinking, and I talked with Chris, is like, you know what? If people want to work people, this is the fun show, because people are going to give their best efforts against people they want to work, or people that they're friends with, or people that they feel comfortable with. So when Shane said he'd you know, Kenny would be great, match is done. You know, Ace Austin, when I made the John Morrison post, he was the first guy to jump on it. Oh, I'd love to have that match. Okay, you know, we might have to add something. But we made it a triple threat match. And, you know, because that match is going to happen. So we got Lio Rush in there. And that should be an extremely exciting, you know, fast paced, awesome match. You got another guy, John Morrison, you know, him and Kenny, you know, faced off in Mesquite. You know, many, many, many years ago, when it was basically the prelim to what the Mecca is now, to where we brought in the big names. And that was a show that had Kevin Nash and Brian Kendrick and Paul London and Eugene and Kenny. And back in the day when John Morrison wouldn't put anybody over. But it was still
tough. Back in the day? You mean that's not still how it goes?
Well, he put over Cross. He tapped out Morrison in the middle of the ring. I guess he didn't like you as much as he liked Cross.
That's all right. That's all right. It's tough enough jealousy.
You know, hey, Kenny, this is a great time because Joe has mentioned that before. You know, that matchup. What are your memories of Mesquite, man?
You know, I remember just being excited because it was a different venue. It felt like the company was growing. You know, Kevin Nash and John Morrison and, you know, Disco Inferno and all of these big names that are on the show. But I mean, it's the venue was great. You know, it really, it's really felt like, you know, FSW was really growing and had, you know, that was, it was really, really exciting. Again, to work John, like I mean, I've known John from before, like, either of us were in business. Like, John, I used to have a radio show in Tampa. I've told this in different interviews, but I had a radio show in college in Tampa, and it was Tuesday nights. And then we were a buddy, my co-host worked at this place called the Key Club. So we were kind of sponsored by that. And like, we'd go do the after hours thing in this bar in Tampa called the Key Club. And it was a, you know, it was like old school hip hop kind of vibe. And man, there was this white dude that would come in there and tear up on the like breakdance and, like, you know, windmills and flares and all this super athletic stuff. And you know, I got to know him, and he was super cool. And then I left. I came to Vegas, and the line for Tough Enough, the audition, I look, and it's the same freaking dude, and it's John Morrison. So I've known John Morrison probably since 01. And, you know, that was, I think, even to this day, the first and only time we'd ever been in the ring together. So it was, you know, it was one of those cool wrestling full circle things.
Yeah, that's cool. When I was working on The Apprentice in 2006, my crew, there was a sound guy who was John's college roommate. So, you know, same thing, just like random stories about John, just like, you know, just being the unique person he is today was how he was back then, which is, you know, it's just crazy to know that all you guys did was just grow up a little bit. That's all.
Just a little bit, or get older, I'd say. I don't know about grow up.
Yeah.
And I always talked about John, even from that day, you know, he was humble in even his explanation of like, hey, you know, I just came off the thing. But he's a guy that I worked with numerous times when we did the IWF in Phoenix. He worked Shelton Benjamin there. And then when we did stuff here in Vegas, and he became the first Mecca Grand Champion, and him and Brian Cage wrestled Chris Bay.
Yeah.
We had some issues. Chris wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament. And then something happened, I remember, and then we added Chris, and he wrestled Scorpio Sky in the first round. And initially, I was going to have Scorpio Sky win. And I think I was talking with Remy, and I was like, hey, this would be a good spot. You put the kid, because it was supposed to be a four-way elimination. So it's like, well, Chris would get a taste of working with the bigger guys. Teddy Hart was winning. Brian Cage was winning. Morrison was winning. You know, Teddy pulled, I'm injured. I can't make the four-way. He limped around even the next day of training. That's how good a worker he was. But they did a triple threat match, which – if you watched that match, you would have thought Chris Bay was the star of the match, the way the other guys made him look. And that was really the coming out party of Chris Bay. And John has always been that super dude. You message him, I need a promo. You know, a lot of guys, everybody's looking to be paid. The higher price guys are higher price guys for a reason. But John would always reach out. He would always cut the promo. He would always answer the text. And, you know, he's one of the first guys, of course, to reach out to be a part of this event. And, you know, it literally is a who's who of professional wrestling. You know, who would think that, you know, Killer Cross would be able to wrestle on a show? And, you know, WWE has been very supportive, you know, and it was something they were looking at allowing people to do. But Kevin was like, yeah, I'd love to work for you again, Joe, but I need to be a part of this show. And it's just like, it's just gone through the roof. And now we got confirmation, hey, RVD is going to be there. And along with Katie Forbes, obviously Rob won't be wrestling, but he's going to be part of the show. And it's like, when they talk about the forbidden door of professional wrestling, this is it.
Yeah.
Not AEW versus New Japan, because we got AEW, we got New Japan, we got TNA, we got WWE, you know, we got everybody, every AAA, you know, TJP just announced, oh yeah, yeah, I'll be back from Japan. Let me be part of the show. It's like, that's the hardest part. Is like, but the thing is, it's the hardest part, but it's the easiest thing because I can close my eyes, throw a dart, and it's like, oh, okay, you're wrestling this guy. People are going to be like, right. Oh, what a great match. It doesn't matter. I could put 100 cards together, and everyone's going to be unbelievable.
Right, and here's another match that is announced. Cage and Rich Swann. Brian Cage and Rich Swann, man. Listen, three announced matches, and this week also, the returning Hammerstone. I mean, come on. Like, this is
the biggest show, I think, of the year anywhere, to be honest. I mean, maybe it's coming short, right? But, I mean, it's this, like Joe said, this is an incredible feat, an enormous gulf that people would have never been like, oh, that's never going to happen. And the fact that it's been allowed to happen because of Chris Bey. I think that just goes to show you what an incredible dude Chris is, how much, I mean, I don't even think he understands how much influence and impact he has had, and this you know, tragedy that's turned into something amazing, how much that has had on the entire wrestling community. Like, you know, I can't remember what it was when Punk said something about Bay. And I text him immediately, and he just sent me the wide open emoji face. He's like, I mean, that's just, but that is, if Chris wasn't who he was, then none of this would even be possible. So,
you know, yeah, and it's crazy because if it wasn't for the European tour, Rey Mysterio and Dominic were going to wrestle on the show. It's like, this could have been like a 5 hour, this could be a 5 hour show, and nobody's leaving because the next guy is like, oh my God, I can't believe it. You know, Rey Mysterio, I was hoping to do something with like Cross and maybe Dominic or something, and Rey is the special guest ref. And then when I talked to Rey, it was like, I want to wrestle. And it was like, wow. You know, I am actually sitting on right now a huge name that I can't announce till Sunday. So, you know, I'll give a hint because they're going to be in Vegas. It's AEW on Saturday. So they don't want that name out there until Sunday. Okay, no problem. But it's a big name star. So it's big name star after big name star after big name star. Like, just because we have a flyer, Mikey is going to continue to adjust it because we don't know who else is continuing to reach out. TJP was yesterday. RVD was the day before, you know? And it's like, I got a message back because, hey, I just got the approval. So now there's approvals everywhere, and it's just like, wow, this is just mind-boggling. That, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, we're gonna put together a show for Chris. This is gonna be great, and I thought it was gonna be, you know, a nice, cool show. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, it was just like the dam burst open, and it's still crazy to me. You know, I got the guy from the Nevada State Assembly who heard about it through a friend who's come to FSW and donated $2,500, which basically is covering all the flights. Yeah. So people who aren't aware of FSW now are, which is also helping us in the long run. It's like the good thing that we're doing, you know. People say, hey, you know, blah, blah. You know what? This is something that we're doing that it actually has gone beyond my thought process of what we were looking at doing. To have, you know, 5 or 6 AEW guys, 5 or 6 TNA guys, a WWE guy. And it's like, we're going to have to do like a 30-man battle royal just to get some other people on the show that are friends with Chris, that are flying in from other states. Just, they're spending their own money to come wrestle for free to be in a battle royal. Yeah. You better like somebody an awful lot to do that. That isn't something you just do on a whim.
No. And, you know, I think that this, you know, it goes to show, I mean, we all know Chris personally. And I can't think of a humbler person. Like, when you try to get Chris to talk about himself, it's like he doesn't necessarily want to talk about Chris. He wants to know about you. And that's the key thing here. I think that, you know, everyone, when you mention Chris's name, everyone kind of lights up and goes, yeah, that guy. I like that guy. Kenny, you've been around him in, you know, professional setting, in locker rooms. How is that when you have, I mean, you know, we know that there are guys out there that you see walk into a locker room and you're like, oh Jesus, but you get through it because you're a professional. And then there's guys like Chris walks into a locker room and there's just that buzz. What is it like to have a guy like Chris around? And, you know, and then when you see your influence on him and how he is giving back to the younger kids here as well, it's kind of just amazing on, you know, how this business just kind of keeps giving to guys who really appreciate it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he is my Obi-Wan. I'm his Qui-Gon, right? Like, he is, he's the guy. I was calling him my Padawan, right? He is, because he's always going to be, he is the Jedi, right? But he's that guy. And it is, it's so gratifying to see. Like, we had the opportunity to work at TNA for a while together, and it was just so amazing to see, like, dudes that I love, like dudes like Eddie Edwards and Moose and these guys, how much they love Chris, and you know, with good reason, right? Like, these are relationships that Chris has built on his own. They're all independent of me. Nobody likes Chris because, you know, oh, that's Kenny's student. Everybody loves Chris because of Chris. And everybody respects Chris because he can get down in the ring. Like, it's all of these different things that Chris has been able to build, you know, completely independent of anything that I've ever been able to do. All I've ever done is see him and give advice and just show, you know, try to show him the way. But Chris has built his own legacy, which has been amazing for me to see. Like, you know, when you say that, the only other guy that I think of that has that, where a guy, he walks into the ring, or walks into a room and everybody's like, hey, or they're just so much love, was a guy named Jay Briscoe. And, you know, shout out to Jay Briscoe. But, like, yeah, Chris has got the same kind of aura as a Jay, you know, and people love and gravitate. Completely different dudes, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They everybody loved Jay. Everybody loved, wanted to be around Jay, and everybody loves Chris, and everybody, you know, just to watch again, man, just good to watch the outpouring of love and concern and support from the very beginning of this thing to, you know, like, I'm amazed, you know, just how the first FaceTime I got, the kid was in a halo and he could barely talk. And I just start crying because I'm like, oh, I just can't even believe this, what I'm seeing. And then a couple weeks later, he's out of the halo, he's talking better. And then he comes home and then he's in a wheelchair. And then I go see him. And then he's on crutches. And then then he puts the crutches down and walks. God is great, man. God is amazing. And Chris is amazing. And it's just been, it's sometimes it has left me speechless. Just like this guy, when I first talked to Chris, he was like, the doctor said there's like a 15 to 20% chance he'll ever walk again. And that was just mind blowing in and of its own self. And then to watch Chris physically walk with my own eyes, you know. Yeah. So I'm so happy to be a part of something like this. I'm very thankful to Joe to put something like this together, so that we can honor a dude like Chris.
And what's amazing is when we first started putting the idea together, we were talking about doing it at the end of January, and WWE was very slow to respond. And it was like, you know what? We're going to hold off. Let's see what we're going to do. Because obviously if we did it in January, it would have been so rushed. It would have been nowhere near what it has become. But the progress, because Chris made very little progress from October till the end of December. And his progress, you know, if you eliminate those 2 months, it's crazy because so much has been accomplished since the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. So it's only been 2 months. For 2 months, we thought the worst. Like, in my mind, I'm like, man, he's not having any feeling. What's going on? This just seems to be like, oh, my God, this is worst case scenario. And then all of a sudden he went from showing me a picture of him actually moving his foot to all of a sudden now he's like walking across a room. Like, I was showing him because we were trying to do the show at the Hard Rock, and he was in there training with his girl, you know, Brittany Brooks is back because she came back from the torn ACL. So he's been at the gym. So his crutches were over by the other ring post, and he just walked to the ring. He kind of walked like me, like a little old man at the time, you know what I mean? But it was like the fact that he was even doing it was crazy to me. And then by moving it to where we're at, in January, the thought was we were going to do this show for Chris, and there really wasn't any thought of Chris even appearing.
Mm-hmm. At the show.
Now it's a given. Chris will be at the show. And now it's like, hey, you know, what do you want to do with the show? Hey, am I going to, you know, should I come to the meet and greet? I'm like, I'm probably not, you know, but it's going to be a great moment, you know, when the fans literally see Chris. And, you know, like I said, the love and support that everybody has put out, the fans, the, you know, you look all over the internet. It's everywhere. You know, I believe today his first interview with Chris Van Fleet is going to be up. So yeah. He did one with him the other day. So, you know, Chris is getting out there. He's telling his story. Fox 5, they're supposed to come down early next week to help promote. And they're going to tell the story on Fox 5. But then they're not done after that. They're coming to the show and they're going to be filming everything that's going on and they're going to do something afterwards. So, you know, I've been talking with Nevada State Bank, trying to get the full details and finalize it. There's going to be a specific donation account that is going to go. So, you know, I know we're going to have the biggest turnout we've ever had of people watching on Triller TV. You know, right. That's a given. So I know people have already asked, hey, is there going to be a way we can donate? Absolutely. You know, so hopefully we're going to finalize all that. You know, we're still, you know, 2 weeks away. I could sell 100 more front row tickets. But I am squeezing as many of our fans into the front row as we can. So we got over 100. They're all gone between the sponsors and everything. And, you know, we're hoping this is going to be the biggest FSW show in our history, you know, and, you know, sponsors are coming in, you know, somebody's donated a special, really nice Chris Bay trading card that we're going to be selling at the show. All the proceeds are going to Chris, you know, the current Mecca Grand Champion. And like I said, you know, the Air Force is looking to sponsor. My guy Hassan, he's a tennis pro, and it's not going to really benefit, but he wants to buy front row, but he also wants to add on to that. And it's like, oh, yeah, put a banner up for me. That's cool. But everybody is doing it because they want to support Chris and try to whatever they can afford, you know, to do. And, you know, even our guys. So we have an FSW heavyweight championship match that we're going to have on there. Danny Limelight's going to defend his title. And right now it's going to be with Ice Williams, Gregory Sharp, and Frankie Kazarian. So I'll announce that one right now. And nice. Was going to keep it a surprise, but why keep it a surprise? We're going to make it a five-way since TJP is available and we need a match. TJP goes into that match. Nice. So it's a great match for all those guys, and it's a great match. So, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm getting TJP for the best price ever. So, Kenny, you know what I'm saying?
You know, Kenny, when you think about, I mean, what you've seen over the past, you know, 25 years, essentially now, I mean, there's nothing that comes up in my mind that's been like this, where you've had so many people who and even people who possibly couldn't, like he said, like Ray and Dominic being overseas. I was trying to get PCO is going to be filming a movie. There's so many people who want to participate even though they can't. Is it just one of those things where, you know, we're lucky enough that, you know, Joe's been able to facilitate this and that, you know, it's just that right time where we're at a point where people can put aside, you know, ego, people could put aside competition and just go, you know, we love this person. And we love what we do. And that's what's bringing everyone together.
Well, the business has softened, been softening in that way for a couple of years now, right? Yes, you know, Tony Khan's done the Forbidden Door. You've got the TNA NXT relationship, you know, things that would, you know, that's something that you never thought you'd ever see. You never thought you'd ever see Jordan Grace in the Royal Rumble and all these things that are happening. And that's business. So this is not business. This is all personal for everybody involved. So that is, I've never been a part of anything like this before. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this before. And it is, you know, it's the perfect storm of the business is ripe for these sorts of things that are already happening. These partnerships, these lines that are, you know, that were borders forever, no longer borders. All these lines are being blurred. And for something like this, which is tragic, which every one of us who steps into that ring understands the risks and, you know, and that could be any one of us at any time. So that is as much as everyone loves Chris, and to see that happen to Chris, you know, it is the perfect storm of all of the things, you know.
You know, the other thing that you announced, Joe, this week is that you're going to be doing the FSW Best of Series, The Art of Finesse. Chris Bay will be premiering March 15th on Triller.
Actually, Triller moved it up a day. They're going to do it the 14th. So 14th? It's going to be the Friday, yes.
Excellent. And some of those matches, Solo Sikoa, Ice Williams, Brian Cage, Sean Morrison, Amazing Red, and Karrion Kross. Again, like, you look at that, and anyone who might not, let's say, be familiar with Chris, you know, again, TNA, let's be fair, Access isn't necessarily, you know, the easiest station to get. So for those people who might come across this on Triller and tune in and then get interested about seeing the benefit show, you know, it's just another great way to, you know, showcase just how amazing Chris is. We look at his journey as his new shirt says, greatest story ever told. But some of the things that I think took advantage of as people watching wrestling matches is the fact that Chris is one of the smoothest workers that I think I've ever seen. And I think, Kenny, you'd probably agree on that, because I mean, it's amazing. And you kind of forget, because we're so spoiled in seeing him, on how he just is able to take a match. And it's almost like his brain was wired to tell stories in the ring, like, to the point where it's effortless. It's like, it's not even the art of finesse. It's effortless finesse with him, man. And I think it's just great to get those matches out there again, so that, you know, audiences can find some of the stuff he's done here, because some of the best work he's done has been, I remember a match probably like 2019 where he worked Luchasaurus, and you would have thought Luchasaurus was like a lightweight. I mean, he was doing stuff that I hadn't seen him do, because Chris was able to just bring stuff out of this guy that was just like, holy mackerel. And it's just amazing. Is that something, Kenny, that when you look at certain guys and you go, they have that thing in them that just makes you go, man, that's the guy who just absorbs and then just creates. Is it just something that's almost like once in a generational type talent?
I mean, you see guys that get it, you know, and those guys are the ones that you gravitate to and you you try to cultivate. You know, wrestling is a sport where you work, and then one day it just happens, and you're just like, oh, wait, I get it. It's not this. And, you know, ever since Chris got it, he never stopped trying to get it. So, you know, whenever you have someone like that who's a student of the game, who I mean, Chris loves wrestling, right? Like, a lot of times, once you get into wrestling, you stop to love wrestling as much. But Chris loves wrestling, and he loves everything about it. And you know, it's his work ethic is incredible, and his pursuit of excellence is relentless. So all of those things, man, that creates one hell of a pro wrestler, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when Kenny says about loving wrestling. It's like all of a sudden we're doing a small school show. It could even be a future shock. Yeah, you might have 100 family and friends. And all of a sudden I look out of the corner of my eyes like, there's Chris. He doesn't have a show, so what does he do? He comes to ours, and then he'll sit there and watch every single match. And after every single match, he'll talk to all the kids and tell them, hey, what you did right, what you did wrong. And, you know, Kenny's usually the guy, like, after the fact, well, he'll come in on a Wednesday, and he does a lot of the critiques on the shows. But Chris is a guy, if he's not booked somewhere and we have a show, he's there. And he's usually hanging out and mingling and giving advice. And like you said, you know, he loves being there. It's no different than after the injury. Like, to me, I was shocked. And it was like, you know, right after he got home, a couple of weeks later, he's like, hey, is it cool? I'm going to come in with Brittany and some people and Monday and Tuesday. And he's there as vocal as ever, you know, like, hey, you need to do this, blah, blah, blah. And he's trying to show, and this is what you did wrong. You got, and it's like, wow, that's amazing to me that after what happened, that so quickly, like, it doesn't stop him from still having that love to trying to make somebody better, because it isn't just his girlfriend. You know, it's makeshift chemistry. AJ and Fox are there with him, or Matt Vandegrift, or whoever is there. And, you know, he's helping whoever comes to be a part of it. And it's like, dude, why don't you just run a class? You know, what's the difference? You're pretty much here anyway. It's like, hey, Kenny won't be here today. You want to stick around? He's like, oh, I got to go to rehab. But it's like the idea of getting Chris back into the fold, because, you know, Kenny's usually there a couple times a month. So it's like Chris used to be the guy that would always fill in. Like, hey, Kenny coming today? Like, I didn't even have to reach out. Hey, is Kenny going to be there? And if he wasn't, he'd be like, you know, put me in, coach. And he always wants to be there to help the younger guys. And, you know, he'd be there with the Shoguns and the Hero Lose and Ice Williams. And he, you know, his clique was strong, you know, Solo Sikoa. It was like all those guys that, you know, loved being a part of FSW, but they wanted to be stars. They wanted to get to the major leagues of professional wrestling. And right, you knew that with Chris early on. It's the people that you see. You knew Hammerstone. You knew Cross. You knew Zoe Stark. You know some of these people that were putting in the effort, that it wasn't like, oh, well, class starts at 6. Okay, I'll be there at 5:55, and I'm going to leave at 8:05. You know, they're the ones that are like, hey, is anyone going to be there early? I want to come in early. I want to get in a couple of hours. You know the ones that know that it's hard work, and they want to do it every single day if they can.
Yeah, and that's how Cena was at UPW. You know, you get done training, and then you'd be in the gym for another 2 hours. Was that Kenny?
Shout out to Rick Bassman.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Rick Bassman, the Joe DeFalco, the Rick Bassman of the modern era, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hated by many.
Bald too. See, it all works out. Yep.
But loved by the people that matter.
That's true. That is true.
Absolutely. You know, really quick here, we had a Future Shock go on here this past Friday and or Saturday, I'm sorry. And you know, without getting too much into Future Shock itself per se, you know, what are your thoughts on what you've been seeing, Kenny, over the last, let's say, 6 months or so with these, you know, young guys who are, you know, guys are growing quicker now, like in terms of the progress. It's kind of scary, to be honest, that guys are kind of like picking things up a little quicker and translating it a little better to where you've got to take notice of some of these guys, right?
I mean, I just, when I think about it and I think about back to like over there on Boulder Highway, right? And like that other school and like the other places we've been and just how like, you know, class after class. Oh, by the way, I saw there was a Bryce Harrison. Bryce Harrison sighting, the dude himself. And whoever put that up did that in crazy timing, by the way. Bryce, shout out to the dude. That's crazy. But, man,
Before you go on, I said, I'm like, Bryce, is it okay if I take a picture or are you wanted by the federal government?
Well, I mean,
you know, I just want to send that out there.
But we just have been churning out like year after year and churning out a whole, like, just great students. And I was on a show. I broke my Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
You worked that show?
Yeah, I worked that show. I worked Willie Mack on that show. And I look up and it's freaking Mariachi Montana and Sky High and G Sharp's an old guy, but I'm like, man, this is what because I remember when Mariachi Montana couldn't roll and Hooli couldn't get his head correctly down through his butt, like and now these guys, you know, they're starting their careers and they're getting booked in places and that is, you know, it makes me proud, right? I take those moments away and I kind of look and I'm like, well, this is what all of that was for when we're, you know, get up, do it again. When we're on your ass and training like this is what all this is for, because this is the beginning of this is it. This is what you're doing it for, right? You get getting booked to get your name out there. And, you know, so when I think about the guys like Mariachi Montana and Sky High and then now I think about guys like Colin Muldoon, who's going to be
good. I was going to say Muldoon and Demir, they had a really good match. You know,
Demir's another one, right? Like they're kind of in between in that same area. But Demir, David Jacot, you know, all of these guys that are gonna have really good careers, you know, that are on a start to doing something really special in this business.
Yeah, I used to call Demir the dumbest motherfucker I know.
Well, I mean, you know, pro wrestling don't take
but a lot of parts, but he's gotten so much better.
He's a hell of a
You know, if you watch, there's a little lull in Future Shock, and then their match came on, and the energy level just blew up. Mm-hmm. You know, Colin's a little cocky for my own good, but he's got that Brett the Threat in him.
That's another one. There's another one, right? Brett the Threat. So these guys, man, it's and Johnny Royal's going to be another good one who's
got to love the bank account when he sold. You know, usually after that big show, he sold 63. It's easy to be like, okay, he sold enough tickets. People flew in from Tennessee to come see him, his family. He sold 41 more tickets the next show. So
I mean, he's in, right? Like,
I'm afford to pay your training salary because of Johnny Royal. Well,
wouldn't that be nice, Joe? Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? Then Matt, we can talk about getting me there 3 days, right?
That's what I'm saying. Right?
So, yeah, you know, these guys, I talked about Johnny Rowland after the show. And I mean, you know, after his first match, and I'd never seen a bigger smile on anyone's face. You'd have thought that he won the lottery and he's got red marks on him and he's halfway limping. And he's just, I was like, oh, you're done.
A moment that he may, you know, hopefully he does, but that could be the best moment of his life.
Right. Yeah.
And at this point, it probably right now, that was probably the best moment he ever had. Because that was his dream to do it. And it took him a while to get there. You know, not everybody went to the Chris Bay, Kevin Cross speed of getting on shows. But I do remember, you know, Chris Bay being the undersized guy. I think his first match was Funny Bone and he got his ass beat.
Yeah,
you
know, Chris Strong, remember? He was Chris Strong back in those days.
And with Cross, obviously he's 6'2", 260, Jack. You know, he was my personal assistant. He got protected, you know, very early on. He wasn't going out and, you know, going to lose to Brandon G. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah. So, it's crazy. You know, Adrian Rain, another guy who was, like, dropping himself on his head. Like, what are you doing? You know, has gotten so much better in such a quick time. The Suavecitos, you know, you go look at AEW Dark and you're like, man, these guys were just like training with us only a couple of years.
Yep.
And they're getting these opportunities. There's so much talent. Like in the past, Future Shock, I'd have to go out and get 8 or 10 guys from Arizona and California because they were looking for that spot. And there was none except on the student show. Now it's like all these young guys are all our guys because there's so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like Jeffrey Excellence is another one that I'm just impressed every time I see, no matter what he's asked to do. And I think that's the key, Kenny. And I think that, you know, one of the things that you, you know, you should get a little credit for, a little rub on, is the fact that a lot of these guys, when they're asked to do something, they do it, which, you know, isn't the easiest thing to get the kids to do sometimes, because sometimes you think you're a little more above what, you know, your pay grade is per se. And you tend to, you know, you tend to see yourself in a certain light when you're not there yet. You might be there at some, but it's, you know, it's, you go out there, you do what you're supposed to do. You make Joe happy. You make
I need you to do. Some people have these ideas of like, I'm going to go out there. We have guys on the show and I'm going to have a 6-minute match and try to do 60 things to show him how good I am and everything I can do. While Jeffrey Excellence is the guy that, hey, it isn't an FSW show, but we have to set up a ring somewhere. Hey, we're doing something over there. And this guy's always making himself available for what we need. So it's like, okay, well, there's one spot. There's three guys. Okay, I'm going to give it to Jimmy Jack because Jimmy Jack's helping. I'm going to give it to Jeffrey Excellence. But then now you watch Jeffrey Excellence and now watch him in a match 8 months ago and look at his physical transformation and look where he sees what everybody else is having to do. And he says, you know what? I want a piece of that, but I can't do it the way I am right now. I have to better myself. He goes to Japan. He works with Taka Michinoku. And guess what? Probably the discipline there is like, hey, bro, I don't give a shit how far you flew on your own dime to come here. You ain't getting shit.
You're here, so you earn every breath you take over there.
And now get the mindset. And that's another important thing. Look at the mindset of people, the attitudes. That's what gives you the opportunity. When I say, hey, I got a crappy spot for you, Jeffrey Excellence, I need you to come in and get your ass whooped, and I need you to take a beating, and you ain't getting nothing in return for this show. Yes, sir. And goes out there and he hits a home run. That's a home run.
Yeah.
You know, not the guy like, well, you know, well, I think if I do this, you know, how about you shut the fuck up? A lot of these guys, you know, in one way, they're so much better. And athletically, it seems like compared to 10 years ago with the training, there's a lot more athleticism. But sometimes there's a lot more stupidity.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And Kenny as a trainer knows. I know from what I hear, but a lot of times it doesn't get to me. They're the ones who have to deal with that inner working of, oh, Joe don't like me. It's never I'm not good enough. It's Joe don't like me.
It's never I didn't show up to training. It's Joe don't like me.
I didn't help out.
I fucking shit the bed the last time I was in the ring, but Joe don't like, you know, it's always that. And I am glad for, you know, thankful for the training group that we have, man, between me, Remy, now TJ, Cody and Sin, like we all
Bateman.
Yeah. Bateman's a good one too.
Like, we're all like-minded. Find a better school with better people. It's like, oh, Kenny can't make it today. Okay. Well, we got Bateman. Oh, we had Chris Bay. We had TJP. It's like, if you don't think you can learn coming to our school, you ain't got no fucking shot in this business.
All right. I mean, we're the only, you know, we do promo classes. We were doing TV production classes.
Well, now Spider's back. I hear that's making a comeback.
Yeah, it's coming back. We'll do another one for the end of March. I think it's looking at the 26th. And I mean, nobody does 5-6 matches like TV style where you get 6 to 8 minutes and you cut promos. And we do that. Nobody's doing that. So it's the premier, I think, school and wrestling organization.
You're listening, Gabe Sapolsky and WWE ID. Where are we?
There you go. Look at that. Gabe.
Well,
we are waiting on the okay, and everybody knows we have the Mania Week, the Friday night show. So I'm not going to give enough away, but if you go to the Twitter and you see WWE ID and it says Mania Week, it says GCW FSW. There is a reason for that, but we are waiting on a couple things to make a major announcement about Friday night at 8 p.m. about a wrestling show. Now, you can figure out what it's going to be about if you have half a brain. So, you know, that it's going to be huge, you know, and, you know, we're working with them. You know, we're the only school that has two ID wrestlers with Ice Williams and Jordan Oasis. There was a lot of rumors before she blew out her ACL that Brittany Brooks was going to be ID. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that, but there's also many of us believe when he hits 18 that Bodie's a guy that is going to be ID'd.
That is an absolute
every difference. Other school that might have one person has one person. We might have four. I think that speaks for something.
Yeah, and Brittany, speaking of Brittany Brooks, Brittany and Alice Blair were on the JCW card as well.
I did not even know that either.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about Alice Blair. Yeah. Brittany, Alice Blair. Yep, they wrestled Mickey Knuckles. Yeah, that was another one. Alice Blair is another one who couldn't get out of her own way and couldn't run the right way.
Her own shadow.
Now who's a former woman FSW women's champion who's getting booked on. I mean, like it's something for I think all of us to sit back and be proud of when you look at what we've been able to do with the people that you know. There's going to be people who just. Yeah, some people ain't gonna make it. This isn't for everybody, but ones that
you know, and haters are gonna hate, and they need to blame somebody for the reason why they haven't made it yet. And you know, like it's easy to say it's me, but it's like I'm not the one who's training you. When what people don't understand, and a lot of the younger guys, like, hey, you know, what do you think? I'm like, well, when Kenny or Remy. Or Cody, or Sin, or somebody says, hey, I noticed you haven't been using him. I've been talking to him. You know, I think he's ready for a future shock. I'm not there sitting in on training. You know, a guy can roll great. A guy can do something good. But when they do their practice matches that I'm not around for, that's what the top trainers are there for. They're the ones to let me know that, hey, that's how I found out Muldoon was ready. You know, he's a young kid. He's moved along a lot quicker than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then I put him in a match with Watson, who can go. And it's like, same story. Hey, give him something. If he does well, give him a little more. So, you know, as I always used to say, G Sharp's the guy that I would always put that younger kid with because he had the patience and he was the guy that'll work with someone and he understands what I'm looking for. And, you know, Colin had a hiccup with Bret the Threat, but then he bounced back, and then he had a really good match the last two. He wrestled Demir, which is two younger guys, which is a lot easier for a lot of...
Which anything can happen, right?
Right, Demir, anything can happen.
But Demir is at the stage where he can prove that he knows how to lead, and, you know, Colin, all he has to do is shut up and listen. So, right. You know,
and the match before, I got him the match with Sharp, and, you know... You know, Sharp gave him a nice little whooping.
Good.
But Colin held
him, this ain't ballet.
But Colin held his ground, and he did really well in that match. So he's definitely, you know, you want the face to look out for 2025. You know, he's got the amateur wrestling background. He's brash. He's cocky. He's got a good personality. You know, he's a guy that, but got to keep being there. Because... Right. Unfortunately, there's guys who they hit that point of they start getting matches and now they take that step back. And for a while, that was like that with the mariachis to where, oh, we kind of made it. We got 50 fans or friends coming to our show. We're so over. And then it's like, well, now that your friends aren't coming to the show, now you have to rely on the FSW faithful to give a shit about you. Because all your friends are going to tell you after the match, oh, that was great. But they haven't seen anything. So anything you do, they can't believe that you can do a certain move. Like, holy shit, you can do that? That was unbelievable. Because they're not wrestling fans. But then, you know, they get that little taste. And now what happens becomes, all right, you got to a point. You got that little lull. Are you going to work like a makeshift chemistry did? So now all of a sudden they get put in with the big boys and they got to wrestle Class and Devin Reno and they got to wrestle Dave Dutra and Wise Guys, you know, people who've been doing it for a long time. And all of a sudden they're going toe to toe and they're having really good matches with them. And as like I said, you know, they were the last people. If somebody said a year ago, hey, who's going to be your champs? They wouldn't have been in that conversation. So. It's what you do once you get to the spot, because a lot of people are content being at the spot. And we've talked about that, you know, a lot of times. And Kenny will tell you, you know, from people that he sees that want to put in the effort, that they want to work hard, not the ones that want to just tell people that they're wrestlers.
Right. And it looks like Kenny opted out. I don't know if he lost the signal or whatever.
I think he did because he was really looking enamored as I was speaking. And I was like, well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that must podcast watch a moment. No, I believe me, I know I do have plenty of those moments. What I'm saying is that one wasn't one that where Kenny would be staring into the abyss of listening to my banter.
You know, since Kenny bopped out, one thing I wanted to bring up that you shot up on, I think yesterday when this memory came up, that I want to get your thoughts about 5 years ago. This was the last show.
The second
in the country.
The second to last. This was the ToyCon show.
Oh, this was the actual ToyCon, and then the next.
Yeah, we did the ToyCon the Saturday night. Brian Pillman had to cancel out. That's when I sat down with Sefa, Solo Sikoa, and we kind of repatched the little issues that went on. He went over and had a fantastic match with Willie Mack, and then until he got signed, he was a mainstay with us. Remy got to wrestle Hammerstone. We even had an Impact World Championship match with Tessa Blanchard against Chris Bay, and then the next day at the Mecca show, Tessa wrestled Lacey Ryan, Zoe Stark. So, you know, this was a fun time, you know.
And these literally were the last two, you know, wrestling shows.
On the planet, or at least in the United States. Nobody ran Sunday. Ring of Honor canceled.
Right. So.
Which helped us because we were going to run against Ring of Honor on that Saturday night because we were literally a half a mile away.
Right. That's right. You know, thinking in these 5 years that it's been, you know, when you look, obviously, it's roughly just under half the life of FSW, that time frame of these past 5 years. What is the difference that you see between what was going on then and what you've come to now? Because it seems like, you know, in the overall scheme of things, it's a short amount of period of time. But at the same time, there's been, you know, so much from wrestling in front of no one because of the shutdown to having to, you know, come back to not having Samstown available anymore and having to go through these different venues to, you know, seeing, you know, a lot of talented people get contracts at the big companies. It's been a wild ride these past 5 years, man.
Well, yeah, let me start off by saying we were at our pinnacle right before the pandemic. So yeah. June of, I would guess, 2019 was our 10-year anniversary show. Yeah. We offered like $10 tickets for GAs and things like that. And up until that point, the biggest show we ever did was Brian Cage versus Matt Hardy in a TLC match for Matt Hardy's FSW Heavyweight Championship. And we had about 900 people in there. And the anniversary show eclipsed that. Then we came back. We had No Escape, which was January of 2020. We were riding high. Another big, huge show. And we had never drawn the consistent big crowds we had. We had good shows. We had really good crowds. But at that point, we felt that FSW was reaching its pinnacle. The biggest names had come in. We had Pentagon and Phoenix. Matt Hardy was our champ. All these things helped build FSW to grow. And before we go on, before we went on the air today, I found out that a friend of ours, Chrissy, who ran Sam's Town, and Chrissy was really good friends with Kid Vegas's dad, Ray. And she'd come to some of our events, and she helped. She ran the entertainment department. She cut us a deal to be at the Sam's Town. And the deal was probably unheard of to this day. She gave us Sam's Town for fucking free, okay? We had to pay a $3,000 food and drink guarantee. We felt we'd be able to do it. And Chrissy was the first person who ever, the only person who ever gave her that opportunity. And when I just found out, because Polly Cobra messaged me and told me that Chrissy passed away in, I believe, a car accident, because she was working at Casablanca in Mesquite. When Chrissy left Sam's Town, she went to Mesquite, and they fronted a $17,000 bill to pay Kevin Nash $4,000 and John Morrison $4,000. And we did a show there that, if you look at, wasn't that great. We had 300-400 people there, but they were ecstatic because they had, and she told me, people from Utah helicoptered in from the Casablanca because they were their high rollers, because they were so excited and got to meet Kevin Nash, and they wanted to meet Kevin Nash. And I had talked to Chrissy about a month and a half ago, because after the pandemic there, they were very, very, very slow to get things going. And I touched base with her, you know, like a year or two later, like, hey, how you doing? Blah, 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 you know, still love to do something. And she's like, hey, Joe, it'd be great, but we're really not doing anything here. And we're into 2022. We're into 2023. And then last year when I hit her up, she's like, hey, you know, hit me back up. You know, it looks like we might be starting to make some movement. And it was pretty shocking to find out today, because, you know, you look back and you don't think of these things when it's happening, because nobody gave us the opportunity. We had a nice spot on Boulder Highway that we could put 300 or 400 people in, which we did. But going to the casino, put FSW front and center, made us, and again, we didn't really have any competition back then, but FSW went to another level. We got to be in a casino. No wrestling shows are being in a casino. And don't, you know, it ain't like we hadn't tried, you know. We were doing the Silver Nugget. I guess you could say we were in a casino. So it was a different version. I don't want to write off the Silver Nugget. Right. But Silver Nugget, where it was located, didn't have the best reputation, but thankfully they did what they did. This kind of mainstreamed FSW. Right. By going to Sam's Town, we're in the middle of the town. We're in the middle of Las Vegas in a casino that's a hotel and a casino and all this good stuff. And I wonder, you know, just where would we be if we never got Sam's Town? Because if we never got Sam's Town, we would never got Mesquite to do the shows there. And directly responsible for Sam's Town was when Chrissy left, and now they weren't as nice. That's when the Silvertons stepped in, and initially they paid us to be there. So obviously it was a better deal. But we were always in touch. And then Chrissy was at Mesquite. So, yeah, it is, you know, a sad day for me because she was a major, major reason for helping our company grow. But you don't notice it before that happened. This was just like a right. just a step, another step. But this is something somebody didn't have to go out of their way for. Because I've learned trying to get venues now, a lot of people do not want to take a risk on fucking wrestling. Regardless, and you know, we're hoping you know this show for Chris Bay opens some eyes because WWE's exploded. It's so much more mainstream, and why can't we be that version for this city? Because we do fundraisers, we try to bring in food, we try to bring in toys for Christmas, and you know. The money is never going to be anything that's like, oh, my God, how much money you're going to make running this. But it's what you could do for yourself helping people. And we've done that a lot. And, you know, maybe it should have been said to her. But, man, thank you, Chrissy, for everything you took a chance on something with us and was always extremely supportive. And, you know, it was really sad to hear about that. Now, when you're talking about, and it's funny because the Facebook message came up and it was when Stars Collide, 2017 in Samstown. It has the picture from behind when we had the bleachers up, which was the prerequisite of the Mecca. But when Stars Collide was the name of the show when we did it in 2013 that had all the talent on it, that Kenny wrestled Morrison and Kevin Nash wrestled Tyshawn Prince for the heavyweight title. Then there was, you know, number two, which ended up being Matt Hardy versus the dude Bryce Harrison. And Brandon Gatson cashed in the case with help from Matt Hardy to win that title. And the Godfather was there and Shelly Martinez and Rebby Sky. And then we did a third one and it had, you know, Killer Cross, Kevin versus Chris Masters was a main match. And Disco and Mike Modest. And again, you know, we brought in a crew of people that never would have happened without the support that we got there. But when Stars Collide was the name we used for basically the first Mecca at Samstown. So even though Mecca 10, the benefit for Bay, comes full circle, and we're calling it Mecca 10, it's really Mecca 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and now you see that poster. Sam Adonis is now no longer on the card. He's going to be working AAA the night before.
Okay.
But in his place, you will have the Hammerstone, RVD, Katie, TJP, the superstar that we have to add on Sunday. We're waiting on approval for Shotzi, who is looking to wrestle on the event also. So,
which adds an NXT person because she's been recently working NXT a little more. So you're covering all the damn bases.
All the bases. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to Brett at GCW. They're doing, I believe, LA the night before.
Right.
So he's trying to see if he can maybe work out the schedule and maybe we can. I'm like, hey, you know, I guess we could count Brooke Havoc as GCW, but it would really be nice to have a mainstay GCW representative at the show. Yeah. You know, Matt Justice is back. Maybe he could make up for breaking our coffin that he never paid for. And also the wall that he broke that we had to pay for when he wrestled Jacob Fatu in the empty arena match. Pandemic time when GCW rented the arena.
Are you sure you want him on the card? Because that projector is
true. That projector is right there. To Silverton, that's true. Yes. Good thinking on that one.
Oh man, yeah. It's just insane. Again, a love for Chris and Once again, Triller, March 14th, You can catch the Best of Sirius for FSW, The Art of Finesse, Chris Bay. You can also get one of these cards, man. These cards are so cool for them.
They were trying to sell them for, I believe they're doing their pre-orders and everything, $25 each. But I just feel that is, all the proceeds are going to Chris. So I talk with Chris. We're going to offer them at the show. And if anybody wants them, they're going to be $15 each. I just feel, the idea is to try to sell as many as we can. And yeah. I appreciate the thought process behind it. But, our fans are also coming to the show and they're paying the money to come to the show. Let's give them a little reward. There's going to be limited edition printed. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be 500 of them made. You know what I mean? So yeah. You might have one of the 50 or 100 cards that they're going to do.
Which is, again, another great thing. And again, that picture of Chris on that card is so cool with the mecha title, the same, picture that was used on this promo pick. It's just.
Yeah, we couldn't use the other one because it said Bullet Club and nobody wanted any trademark infringement.
Right. And once again, we got Brian Cage versus Rich Swann that was announced. This amazing triple threat, Leo Rush, Ace Austin, and John Morrison, which, those three guys can tear down the house. Again, thank you, Kenny King, for joining us today. Kenny versus
Swerve. Yeah, his phone died. He messaged me.
Yeah, kind of figured it was something like that.
So for Christmas, we're going to all chip in and buy Kenny King a phone charger that actually plugs in while you're on it.
Oh, man. And again, RVD, saw Rob for the first time in a long time at the JCW show. Katie wrestled on that show. You got Hammerstone again coming back.
An angry Hammerstone, no longer with TNA.
Yeah. Look at that look he's got in that picture.
Yeah, too. We took that picture right after he announced the release. He was not re-signing.
And, of course, Karrion Kross,
I don't know. He's been making some cryptic messages. I'm really, I hated the hair thing. Now I really like the hair thing. And now these cryptic messages, many people believe that a killer is returning March 23rd because he posted the March 23rd. I hope he just has a bald cap on because I'm really digging the hair. Like many people feel that Killer Kross is going to return to the old look.
Well, someone on the internet, picks up on weird stuff. A lot of times these internet fans, that the way Kevin's hair has been kind of changing is reminiscent.
Oh, yeah, that was unbelievable. And then I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? That is brilliant. And I didn't notice it until I saw the three pictures with the hair. So maybe he's going after a bald guy March 24th after the 23rd show.
I'm just saying, or, maybe since he's coming back here, Joe, this might be, you better watch out because Cross might be coming for you, man.
I got hair. I got some hair. He would go completely bald, so it wouldn't be me, but I'm trying to look at, who on the, we need to now be detectives and look at the WWE roster and see what person is bald.
Randy. Would that not be a psychological? Talk about two psychological wrestlers. Oh, that would be nice.
Because right now, everybody, it seems like, AJ Styles isn't going to be wrestling Cross at Mania. Looks like it's going to be the Logan Paul.
Right.
And when they did it before, the New Day ended up turning, but he wasn't involved with them. Sami Zayn didn't turn, and he still may, but he was wrestling Owens.
Right.
So Kevin hasn't gotten like the reward of getting in these people's heads, or these guys haven't said, you know what? Why don't you shut me up type of thing?
Right.
So hopefully this leads to, Kevin doing that. So because I'm going to quickly find it here where it shows you know, what he wrote. You know, he put so much stuff out, it's crazy. You know, I'm looking forward to the book. I'm a little upset that he didn't have me, of all people, do the foreword. You know, I would have liked to have been the guy because, you know, and, you know, thank you, Kevin, 1,000,000% for, you know, basically putting me over that, hey, you don't know if you never came to FSW and met me what you would be doing with your career. So I appreciate all that love, which is shown by, you know, the things that he's doing.
Right.
But it's like right here, where was it? Where's the cross post? Because he made one that specifically, I know what you want. I've read it every week for over 2 years. I heard you in person. March 23rd, you will have him. Well, I'll 100% say I have no knowledge of anything. Because remember, Kevin's also the guy who wouldn't tell me that Jon Moxley was coming to my own fucking show until I actually saw him at my show an hour before the bell was starting for the first match.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have no knowledge, but I know for many years people wanted to see Killer Cross. So, you know, maybe we can have a little appetizer where Paulie Cover tries to make amends, and maybe he puts him through another table or door. You know what I'm saying?
I think, you know, or just for if a fan will put up, maybe do you think Paulie would do it for like $50 just to go to Chris? Just go.
Well,
through
it's gonna be donated anyway, so he could do it for $5. It doesn't matter.
True. Sure.
It's just the thought of the donation in the Paulie Cover name.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so, you know, I'd like to, you know, revisit for our longtime FSW fans. Maybe there needs to be that little moment with Paulie and Kevin. And now that, you know, Paulie's on 107.5 again, you know, I already talked to him. So we're trying to see if we can set up an interview for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's so much, you know, as I said, and, you know, a sad thing with Chris, he was like, so much good news has been happening the last couple of weeks. It's like you're always waiting for something, you know, to drop. And it's like, ugh, that is definitely a sad one. So, but, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, again, and thoughts and prayers go out to her and her family. And
yeah, because she still lived in Vegas, so she was always making the trip every day back and forth to Mesquite.
Man. And again, I know driving out there, it's, you know, it's not fun. So, you know, all right, here we are. Final thoughts before we wrap up. You know,
we got one more week. We were literally 10 days away of the benefit for Bay. Ticket sales are moving great. You know, there's definitely going to be a lot of money raised for Chris.
Good.
You know, we had to cover some costs and some things, but most of it's pretty minimal. You know, if you look at that card, you know, that card would cost thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, this is if you look at it, is a minimum $25,000 to $30,000 card, just based off the talent.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Absolutely. I'm not even talking about the flights and the venue costs and the insurance and every little thing that's in there. You know, there are huge names. I'm so excited that on Sunday, might even be Saturday after the show, to make the announcement, because this is a true superstar, you know. And give you another hint, he's worked for both companies. So AEW, WWE, always like to, and he worked for us before that, you know, at the IWF. So if you want to, you know, And he also worked an FSW show.
There we go.
But I will say it is not Moxley, because I know a lot of people might think that. But no, it's not John Moxley, but it is a superstar. And I'm extremely excited to have him on the show. So, you know, and I hope by next week, I got four more names. I'll figure it out. I don't care. You know, I want more big names. So, you know, if you're reaching out, reach out. We'll get you.
It's the AJ guy, the boom guy from Instagram, right? From TikTok.
The only AJ I'll have on the show, Styles.
Well, no, you actually have an AJ on the show, Joe.
Oh, whoa. That's right. What I meant was, if I'm going to bring in another AJ on the one that we have, AJ Styles would be the one, is what I meant.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yes. And next week, we will announce who the Rascals will be wrestling. It's possible it will be just a regular tag match, but there's also a possibility it might be a triple threat or a fatal four-way tag match.
Nice.
So, if the Young Bucks or somebody wants to come out, I might see them on Saturday. I might have to cover their flight from Victorville, but we should be okay. Rick Knox is a good friend of his. Forgot to mention Rick Knox from AEW Ref. He'll be there. How crazy, because nobody's said a word, would it be for Rick Knox to ref a Karrion Kross match?
Sure. Why not? Yeah.
That's a forbidden door.
Rick Knox used to ref there at UPW. So
he used to ref Karrion Kross matches.
Yeah,
he was the referee when Matt Hardy beat Brian Cage for the FSW Heavyweight Championship. So not only am I good at grabbing talent before they make it big, I even got guys like Justin Borden, who worked New Japan, works for Rick Knox.
Yeah.
Ref Cody's destined to get somewhere.
I had a talk with Cody recently about it. I'm telling you, if there's one person who needs a look.
I know Gabe's aware of him. I know, to me, there was no better referee in Vegas than Austin. And Austin chose to step away from it. But, Cody and him, top notch. Yep. Amber's good. She's a little more or a little less experienced than Cody. Right. But, I'll put Cody up with any referee on the West Coast that I've seen. Any referee that I've seen that's an independent referee. Because, again, he's another guy like Austin that they continue to get better because this is what they want to do. Yes. Unfortunately, a lot of the referees are wrestling kids that are trying to become wrestlers. So they never really put forth the effort to be that referee. So if you want to be a ref and you're dedicated to that, there are opportunities to be had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cody's the right size. He's the right weight.
And one of the guys that you can tell, and it's certain eyes when you're watching things that you see the trust, you see the communication, and that if something needs to be taken care of, Cody knows how to process it and get it done. And
like Rick Knox, they do have wrestling training. So when they're doing comedy stuff or want to do cool spots, that's the referee that can do it.
Yep. 100%. 100%. It's, it's a lost art form to some extent.
Because in most cases, it's an ex-wrestler or a guy who's trying to train to wrestle to be a ref. but he doesn't even understand the concept of refereeing. So putting him in a spot sometimes becomes difficult.
Yeah. All right. So there we have it. That's what's going on. And hopefully next week too, maybe we'll get someone.
I'm going to work on, you know, it's cool getting our FSW alum, but you know, Kenny's also a 25-year veteran, so he's awesome.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, you know, hopefully, you know, next week, maybe we can have a couple of guests or maybe a round table, whatever, you know, a little bit of something. I'm going to try to put together something super cool. I guess even on, I guess it's Sunday morning, I'll make my return to the Mark Hoke Show.
Yeah.
We promote it, which is on Celestial Radio. But I guess they also stream it too or something because he said it's – so I can't be in my underwear and no shirt because it's going to be on camera. So, you know, here I just wear a shirt. It doesn't matter if I have underwear or not on. So.
No, we have not seen Pansel's show yet. So
yeah, you know, unless my dog really barks and needs to get up and I forget and then I get up and all of a sudden you see me in my undies.
No, and we got a cameo from Kenny's cat too, by the way.
Yeah, two of them it looked like.
Yeah.
One was very, very rude, and I hope Kenny has a conversation with that one. Just jumps, like, right in front of the fucking camera like it was nothing.
Well, you know, someone's got to put Kenny in his place every once in a while, and it might as well be his cat. So.
Might as well.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And until next week, we'll see you guys. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.